The reading will be from Philippians chapter 3 in verses 14 through 16. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to see all of you here with us tonight. Keep your Bibles at that particular place, and we will begin in just a moment from Philippians chapter 3. Before we get into this evening, I want to mention something to you that would be of interest, I believe, and want to praise God for, and that is this morning, after everyone had left, we had opportunity to discuss some things relative to salvation for Tori Eastlick and for Caroline Roberts. And as a result of discussing things with them, they were baptized into Christ this morning. And we want you to welcome them in the family of God. Tori is here with us tonight. She is with a young man back here at the back. I won't embarrass them in any way, but they already are because I've already mentioned her name anyway. But please get to know her and also Brandon, who is with her. And you'll be able to get to see and meet Caroline in due time, I hope and pray. But we are very grateful for the power of the gospel that works in their heart to lead them to this point of obedience in their life. And we only pray for their faithfulness from this point on to live the way that God wants them to live. I would like for you to continue to think about the things that are in this passage here. We talked about this morning the things that relate to where we are now, where we're going. Number one, do not murmur over the past. We talked about that. And then also the idea of how we view the Lord's expectation of us, what we're supposed to do, how we're to think about God's expectation of us is greater than anybody's expectation of us could ever be. And we would want to do everything we could to please Him in everything individually and collectively as the body of Christ. There is something that's going on here I want you to look at with me in this particular moment. In Philippians chapter 3 that Robert read just a moment ago, verse 14, verse 16, I want you to notice that in this text, Paul writes, and if you've studied this book at all, you know he writes in prison. And as a result of being in prison, and from the subject of which we've covered, you think, well, where he is now, he doesn't want to stay there. And I'm not talking about physically where he is, but look at what the text discusses here, that he has this humble realization of it, what he says here, not that I've already obtained in verse 12. That humble realization, I've not reached the point that I want to. He says, I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that. And then he talks about stretching forward to the things which are before. I press on. It's like this established determination. He knows there's a direction where he's wanting to go. He removes himself from the past. It talks about it in verse 13. He's trying to go on to a destination in which he knows he needs to be. And some of that goes back up into chapter 3, verse 7 to verse 10, and even into verse 11. But he wants everybody to know, and he writes this church and says, there's opportunities for us to press on. And one of the most interesting things that he states in verse 16 to me is, let's understand, only whereunto we have attained by that same rule, let us walk. One thing you might want to keep in mind is this. To get from the past and to press on and stretch forward, it pertains to what he says in verse 16, walking. You don't do it standing still. And I don't believe we get the implication that whenever you walk backwards. The implication is you're going to walk in a certain direction. You're going to go toward the direction of which it pertains to pleasing the Lord. And I want to mention something to you that I think is very significant here, and that is, for us, I don't think that Paul is just taking for granted this is going to be the way he's going to live his life. He's an apostle. And you think, well, yeah, he knows this is what he's supposed to be. Well, what did Judas do? Judas betrayed the Lord. Paul could have done the very same thing. So therefore, even in application of what it was that happened in Paul's life, you don't ever take for granted that this time next year, you'll be worshiping right here in this building with these people and maybe more than these people. So therefore, there is something to be said for the things that he says. I haven't reached this point where I need to be. I'm stretching forward before and pressing on, as he states in verse 14, and I'm going to make sure we walk in that direction. I know now what I'm doing is going to help determine what I'm going to do in the future. So therefore, we're going to talk about what's going on right now. And these are the first people we're going to talk about, the elders. What are the elders doing right now? I will say this, whatever the elders are doing right now, there's a very good possibility they'll do it a year from now or 6 months from now. So whatever they're doing right now is what they will probably and may very well be doing in just a short period of time. Now, to define what it is they're doing right now could be teaching, shepherding, guiding, learning more about what the scriptures teach an elder to be. It could be about faithfulness. It could be about showing more love and compassion. There's a lot of different things of which now they're doing. But again, it's back to the point of what they're doing now is probably what they're going to be doing in the future. So therefore, whatever direction they're walking in now is the direction, as you talk about verse 16, only we're into, we've obtained by that same rule, let us walk. Second group, the teachers. Well, that should be, I'm going to go one at a time here. But what are the teachers doing now? Are they growing? Are they investigating the scriptures about what subject they're teaching? Are they putting more material together? And maybe let's talk about how many teachers there are. However many teachers there are right now might just be how many teachers there will be in the future, a year from now. And whatever the teachers are doing now may very well be what the teacher will be doing next year. Question is, do you think we need more teachers besides what we've got right now? And some people will say, well, we need more. We need more and more teachers. But whatever we're doing right now to get the teachers ready will lead to an increase in teachers or a decline in teachers, or we'll all be the same. Teaching can be done. Teaching may be done. But teaching needs a love and desire to do it. Doesn't matter what age you are. I remember very well a lady that Diane used to worship with several years ago was a teacher of people in a Bible class when she was in her 90s. And you think, well, she may have a little difficult time. This woman had no difficulty. She had no difficulty in the ability that was given to her, but she also didn't have any difficulty having the desire and the want to and the love for those that which she taught. Whatever it was that she was assigned to teach. The most interesting thing here is when you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5, and look at what is stated in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to verse 14. He mentions something, how it is that when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles that were the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that partakes of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even for those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. What are the teachers doing right now? Are they not very well, and they're not very well knowledgeable in what they're teaching? Do they need someone to come along and teach them? Do they know what they're doing? And how many of them are there that want to do this? How many of them that want to be the ones who will teach this message of the gospel of Christ? What are we doing right now when it comes down to teachers? What are the elders doing right now? And number three, who are we imitating now? When you think about who we're imitating, that could be a who as well as it could be a what we're imitating. Are we imitating more the things that lead to faithfulness? Are we imitating more the things that lead to a teacher of the gospel? Are we imitating more of what we see and what we're hearing outside? Are we trying to be more conducive to everything that's accepting in the world? Or are we finding ourselves trying to gain more the favor of the glory of the Lord? Whatever we're doing that right now will probably be what we're pressing into a year from now, or maybe even 6 months from now. Whatever we're imitating, that's the direction that we're going. And there's one thing about that that probably needs to be understood, and that is if you're trying to think about the possibility of being a Joshua, you can't find yourself developing and imitating the attitude of a rich man that Jesus ran into in the book of Luke, or I should say, told a parable about in the book of Luke chapter 12. You see, if you're wanting to be the woman that is more parallel with a worthy woman of Proverbs chapter 31, you can't become to be one who imitates the life of a Jezebel. Therefore, whatever you're doing, whoever you're imitating and whatever you're imitating right now will probably be the same one that you're imitating a year from now. Or maybe even 6 months from now. And then number four, there's a tendency sometimes to either be an elder, be a teacher, or whoever we're imitating, hopefully we're saying we're wanting to be godly, and we're missing out on the opportunity to do those things because we're too busy now. And whatever we're busy doing right now, which is lending itself toward making some kind of justification because we can't be the teacher, we can't be the elder, we can't be doing the things that are imitating Jesus Christ, we can't really attain, whatever excuse that we're making now will probably be the same excuse we'll make about busyness 6 months from now, in a year from now. It'll keep on going. What we'll do probably is we'll just add to our busy schedule. We'll just pile on more things that lend itself toward being busy. If you look in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15, he talked about how we should not be loving the world, neither the things that are in the world. Any man that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love of the Father. What does the Father want and expect? What does he desire us to do? It's to follow his way. It's to press on to be where he is in heaven. But whatever we're doing right now, if we're too busy to really follow the Lord, then we can't find ourselves doing what needs to be done right now. And again, we may find ourselves 7 months, 6 months, a year and a half from now doing the very same thing, being too busy to be able to do the things that we need to be doing right now. And some folks will talk about how it is what we need to be doing now is what we used to do back then, 6 months ago, 10 years ago. What we need to be doing right now is what we used to do, what we used to do. And we need to find ourselves teaching. We need to find ourselves in fellowship. We need to find ourselves united. We need to find ourselves in love. We need to find ourselves working together. We need to find ourselves doing all the things that good works people do. We need to find ourselves participating and being people who edify one another. But what's happened since that now time back then? We need to do what we used to do back then. We need to do now what we used to do. What's kept us from doing now what we used to do, though? Could be the very same busyness that will probably in the future hinder us from doing the things that we need to do right now. And we may find ourselves going back to the book of Philippians chapter 3 and looking at what Paul says and says, we're just having a hard time walking. I see that we're needing to be pressing on to the goal, but I'm just having a hard time pressing on in the direction I need to be going in. I don't see any part of my life gaining. I don't see there being any production. Probably has a lot to do with what the thing that Paul was talking about a little bit earlier in this. When he counted all things lost in verse 7, he wanted them all lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. And not that he had already found himself coming to that point of knowledge, and even though he's an apostle, and I think this is a very significant thing, we might want to look and justify how it is that he's able to do this because he's an apostle. But he doesn't use the fact that he's an apostle to give him reason for wanting to do righteousness that pertains to the knowledge of Jesus and the power of his resurrection in verse 10. He says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, becoming conformed even unto his death. And he doesn't say, I can only do that because I'm an apostle. He says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. He did have a goal at the end of verse 11, the same thing you got at the end of verse 14. Pressing toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us all do this. Let us all have the perfect mind to be those that will go in this direction. Where are we now? Probably going to be the same place we're going to be in a year from now. Same place. So therefore, we have to truly self-examine to see whether or not we really are where we should be right now. If we're not, then we need to make the changes that need to be made. But let's look at this. How are we going to move forward? We're going to move forward now because we see and realize that that's going to make the difference in the world. I don't know the exact population of the city of Hendersonville, and it doesn't really matter. But yet the idea of the church moving now will go toward making the difference in the world, and those people will notice it. And they will see, just like Matthew chapter 5 says, we're the salt of the earth and we're the light of the world. And it will be just like the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, we are this specific, distinct group of people of which God has assigned to be the ones who will represent His name in the world, of which most people would say, don't want it. You can't persuade me to be it. Yet we might find ourselves just in the life of some individual that can make all the difference in the world. What we do right now, moving as we should, can be that which lends itself toward evangelizing the community. You think it takes a lot of resources, monetary resources? Not necessarily. It really takes a lot of work. I don't know that there's Facebook back in the first century. Websites? I don't know they were handing out pamphlets. They wouldn't have printed up material. They had each other. And having each other, you will notice in the book of Matthew chapter 28, this is what Jesus is saying to His disciples. It's you that will do this. You'll be the one that will go therefore and teach all nations. You'll be the one that will go out and present this message to those people that need it. And you know who those people are, according to Matthew chapter 2, verse 17, it's the people that are sick. It's not the well person. And you'll figure out who those people are that think they're okay where they are versus the people that are sick and they know that they need somebody like the Lord. But then we think about this one. Our church moving now will be the one that will develop the men to be the next elders and the next deacons. They will help them know that 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 is so true. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They will know very clearly in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We need to make sure that whenever we get this information that we know is true and vital and important, that we delivered it to other men who will be able to teach others also. Let them know that they will be, hopefully, the next teachers, the next servants of the Lord in a particular way, and definitely elders in the body of Christ. A church that moves forward from where they are right now, they'll always be following the message of the gospel. That's what that sign out there says. If you looked at the sign, not on that side, but on this side, the Bible is still taught here. I wonder how many churches in this community or all through the area and the people that are in it could come away from that building and you ask them, did you learn anything out of the Bible today? I wonder how many, what the percentage would be of those that did versus those that did not. I don't know what that would be. I have no idea. I have known of people, and I'm sure you've known of people, that whenever they talk about religious matters, they would tell you about, well, whenever we get together, this is what we do for fun. Whenever we get together, this is the latest video that we saw. Whenever we get together, this is what kind of activity we're involved in. There's not much Bible taught where we go. But when you look at the book of 2 Thessalonians, that Paul was delivering to this message to these people as he was concluding his exhortation to these brethren. And if you notice in chapter 2, verse 13, he says, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for what God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We are thanking God because you were the one that received this message, whereunto He called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, beloved brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle of ours. Hold to it. The church moving forward is the one that sees how they need to develop elders and teachers. They see now how they need to teach this gospel. They see right now that they're the ones that need to go out and be the light to the world. They see right now they're the one that needs to go out and be the one that evangelizes those people that are not saved. They see that. A young little girl one time was asked what it was stated to her by another friend of hers, that You know, it would really be hard to wear glasses all the time. I just don't think I could do it. And she said, I believe I can. I believe I can wear glasses all the time, especially the ones that my grandmother wears. The ones that my grandmother wears, she sees things that need to be done for people when they're in need. She sees people who need to be taught wise things to make decisions between what's good and evil. She sees opportunities out there to do whatever she can to be a servant. She sees opportunities out there, and she goes out and does things for people that nobody ever knows very much about. She sees all of this. So therefore, she said, I want to wear my grandmother's glasses. I want to wear my grandmother's glasses. Those people that see what her grandmother saw are the kind of people that will do what needs to be done now, and then later on, we'll do the same thing 6 months from now, in a year from now. The question is, though, who are we? I mean, what is our, you know, businesses have a business model. What is our model? What is our pattern? Harvard Business Review had an article by this title, Market Myopia, which is nearsightedness. Market Myopia. It talked about in that article how some people didn't understand what their business was. For example, they talked about the railroad people. Those people that work on the railroad did not realize that they were in the transportation business. They just thought they were in the railroad business. Had they realized that they were in the transportation business, they would invest it in airplanes. Invest in airplanes? When you're railroad business? Why can't you just do the transporting with the railroads? What is it that we're doing at Lakeview? What kind of work are we doing? Is it the function of the, we're going to make people happy. We're going to make people like us. We're going to entertain people. We're going to keep people really feeling good. Or are we going to feed them? The gospel of Jesus. Looking in the scriptures, you know that we're supposed to be the church. We're supposed to be working on fellowship with each other. We're supposed to be teaching the Bible. We're supposed to be building the kingdom with the teaching. We're supposed to personally be the ones who will be increasing our own faith in order to present reverence to the hearts of other people that need the very same thing. But let me let you understand something that we talked about this morning that I didn't bring up, but it's found in the book of Haggai, chapter 1. We read verse 1 to verse 6, but I want to go a little bit further than that and read something that is stated in Haggai chapter 1, verse 7. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, consider your ways. That was a statement that was made back up earlier in verse 5, okay? This is God saying through the mouth of Haggai, this is what you need to do. Watch what he says in verse 8. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, said Jehovah. That's too simple. That is just too easy. That is absolutely the most wonderful thing that can be done for God. Number one, consider where you are. Consider your ways in verse 7. And then verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood, build the house, and take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. Pretty easy process, isn't it? Which means that if there is a motive for what it is that we need to do now and what we will need to do in the future, there's only one person that really makes the difference, and that's God within me. If I am with you, as he says, if I am with you, then that's the only motive you need to press forward. That's the only motive you need. And sometimes we think we need a little bit more of incentive. We need a little bit bigger push. Somebody really needs to get behind me and shove me in the direction I need to go in. But for all these people here, what do they need? They just need to know of where they are and need to know what God can do with them right there. Go get the wood and build the house. Because they left off building that temple of God. Go buy the wood. Start working.
simple enough.
There is something that has entered in the hearts of a lot of people in the last several months. And I must say this, that Satan has a way of trying to work his way into the hearts of people in a lot of various circumstances to where the only thing that they see is a crisis. When people that are Christians and people that are Christians as members of the church at Lakeview, if that's all we see is a crisis, then we'll just follow the trend and we will not stop the trend as we talked about this morning. When Paul was in the midst of a situation where he was converted to the Lord, he didn't just reverse the trend, he stopped the trend through what he did. And the same thing could be true for you and for me. Don't find yourself so overwhelmed with a crisis. Just see where you are now and see that the Christians are the best body of people in the world that do not have to let the crisis overwhelm them, create within them great terror and fear, and just admire the circumstances and how difficult, terrible, bad, depressing, angry they are toward it. But just look and see what God wants us to do right now. But will we expect God to be with us? Absolutely. Just like He was with the people of Israel. He said He would. And Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, verse 13, I'm right there with you. I'm with you. And that's only the only motive that we all need. God can do in us what we can't do in us. And we have to believe that. We need to learn that. We need to appreciate that. If you would bow with me in prayer, please. God, we're very grateful for You being the one who is the King, the Lord, the Majesty, the power over all things. You displayed it so well in making this day. We had nothing to do with this day. We couldn't even begin to do what You've done this day. You so magnificently showed us how You have made the sun come up and it will go down. We had nothing to do with that. If You can bring about life within our own bodies, bring within us the Spirit and give us Your image, of which we can't do ourselves, what could we do with what Your Word teaches us? Let us read it. Let us understand. Let us believe and let us follow. To be Your servants, to reflect the good works, to be the ones that are example and make the difference in the world, evangelizing, being the example, providing opportunities for young men and older men to be deacons and elders, to be that which we should be as elders now, to be that which we should be as teachers now. Consider our ways and understand that we should imitate who Jesus is, not the people in the world. And we should be the one who will not allow the wall of busyness be built up by everything that we can acquire to do in our lifetime, but be the ones who will find ourselves doing the good works that will glorify Your name. We are very grateful that we have such examples of people like the people of God who left captivity and who were hindered by the adversaries and who were pressed on with temptations and trials, and they forsook Your way. And You admonished them with considering their ways to let them just say, go out and get the wood and build. And let us learn from those examples and lessons of which You taught Your people that are for our good today. We're capable because we know You made us. Just give us the motivation because You being with us and You've given us the instruction. And as long as You're with us, nothing will hinder. Let us just do Your work. And let You produce the fruit and allow You through us press on and see the progress and allow Your church to be magnified in this particular area. And You get all the glory and not us. For those that are here tonight who are Christians who have failed to be a part of that body's work, may You give them the desire to repent and change their way. And let them come forward this evening and we'll pray for them and with them that they will be a part of the family of God to work diligently, ongoing, steadfast, and be the ones who will press forward and walking in the way you want us all and expect us all to be. For those that are not members of your body that are with us tonight, give them the understanding of changing their way to be a part of a body of fellowship that brings about glory to your name and finds their place where they can make the difference in the world in which we live. No matter how small or great it may be, knowing that if we follow you, you'll be the motive we all need. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us all stand and sing.